This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Is this going to help or hurt the defense of Richard Allen, being in the fantastical nature of it and how long it took to get to the point in the Franks hearing argument in the document? I mean, would have they been served better by not putting all of these bizarre claims out there right now?
Maybe, you know, and it's like, maybe they would have. I think that they needed to give some context to the judge, because remember, it's like people are confusing the concept that there's a gag order on this with the fact that the case is sealed, and it's not sealed. She unsealed the documents. They didn't have an obligation necessarily to file it sealed. Mm-hmm. Meaning that document, like a gag order is different. A gag order is where the judge is saying, look, you cannot talk to the press. And when I say you, it's the attorneys, the clerks, the bailiffs, anybody involved with the case, cannot make statements to the press about anything substantive about the case. That's what's going on in Idaho 4. Mm-hmm. Like, we get no information on that case. The only thing that we see are things that are filed. And even when things are filed, you know, the important parts we're not getting to see because they're sealing the affidavits.
Sure. Like,
so the things that we're getting to see, you know, to some extent in the Delphi case, we're not seeing in Idaho 4. So, you know, I mean, like, that gag order is just no talking to the press. It is not dealing with, they can't, you know, because like it, to say that any attorney can't file whatever they want in defense or in, you know, trying to convict or the prosecution of a defendant is ridiculous.
Sure.
I mean, pleadings are pleadings. You're going to put in what you have to put in, you know, but when they made the move to not seal it, knowing that it had, that none of us had ever heard any details other than rumors,
yeah,
about what the crime scene looked like, she's going to be upset. You
sure.
know, I mean, they just put a lot out there. And frankly, you know, the fantastical nature of it does not mean it's not true. And when we, I'm assuming you're going to ask me about the state's response next. And,
yeah.
And to me, there's a very telling paragraph. And it's a, you know, it's a backhanded slap at the defense in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
It's the end of that paragraph. When we get to it, I'll tell you
sure.
what it is when we get there. But I mean, it could, man, it could absolutely backfire in their face. But, you know, they had to have sat around and say, man, like, you know, when they're preparing this thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, man, you know, are we going to do this? Am I clicking file? You know what I'm saying? At 2:08 in the morning.
It's almost like when I initially started looking at it, I'm like, did somebody just go to like ChatGPT and say, write a story about Odinism and these girls being murdered by them and create the story? It almost reads like that in some ways.
It really does. A lot of it reads like a horror novel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, but the difference being, and the one thing that I want people to understand is that none of the facts in there, and I'm not talking about like the historical nature of Odinism.
Yep.
And what I'm talking about are the things that they're talking about factually, like when they're naming these individuals and they're talking about things that those individuals said to law enforcement. Those aren't coming from thin air.
No,
those are coming from the discovery that was tendered to the defense by the state. So it's coming from the police reports that the defense has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's some meat in there, man. It's like, and that's the other thing. It's like you have these kind of like potential smoking gun type statements from certain individuals that now are also buried into this whole 136 pages. You know, and again, like, when you get deep into it, and you knew that one of the things that they had to contend with in that case was really the strongest piece of evidence that the state has right now, which is Richard Allen's confessions, that he made one or multiple confessions over one or multiple jail calls where he has to his wife that are, of course, recorded, which every client of every decent attorney knows that all of those are recorded. So he knew. There's a 0% chance that Richard Allen did not know that that line was recorded.
But why did he make this confession? I mean, in order to believe that the confession was coerced out of him, you then have to believe the Odinistic story, I think. I mean, the way that it all kind of reads.
Exactly. You led right into that. That's my point. Like, they had to bring in the Odinism stuff to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because to get to the guards, the two guards were both sergeants. And I can confirm, I was in the courtroom in June, the first time that this hearing came up where they were trying to get him moved.
Yeah.
Because currently he's housed in a penitentiary,
yeah.
Westville Penitentiary. That's very unusual for pretrial detainees. They're typically kept in the county jail.
Yeah.
You don't go to prison until you're convicted. That's how the system works.
Yeah.
You know, so that entire day in June was spent putting in testimony from various witnesses. And one of the things that came up, mm-hmm. aside from the bombshell that he had confessed, was that there were two guards, unnamed at that point in June, that were recording with a camcorder, like the attorney-client meetings between Rosie and Alan. So, I, like, as a defense attorney, I'm like, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we have to be able to meet with our clients in private.
Sure.
You have to assume that the state, you know, and these are operatives of the state.
Yeah. Make
no bones about it. They're state employees at a penitentiary. So, like, they're not going to have any kind of substantive discussions, like, between Rosie and his client. They're just not going to do it because these guys are in there. They don't know if they're getting sound or not. They're behind a window. So when this thing comes out, it fleshes out that other half of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, but we have to keep in mind, they had to deal with this confession somehow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when they start, like, you know, and I mean, it's like when they start in on that late in the memo, and they're talking about these two guards that have the patches in Odin We Trust, and then the three triangles, which is a symbol of the religion. And then they go so far, and where it got tricky, and I don't know if you got to it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they put in this language and they put it in quotes, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something to the extent that, you know, if these guards weren't watching, that Richard Allen would have told them in quotes, well, these guys told me that they're going to kill my wife and my family if I don't confess to my wife that I killed the two girls on the call.
Mm-hmm.
So they put that in quotes,
yeah.
Right? So when you're reading the body of the memo, you're like, oh my God, that explains it. And then you have to see the little footnote. So there's footnote 15 there.
Sure.
It'll be one of the most famous footnotes ever because it's that kind of footnote. And that's where Rosie says, look, he didn't say these words, but we're assuming that because the guards are constantly filming him and always in his presence, that's why he hasn't said them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was tricky the way that they did that. And, you know, especially when they had actual quotes that followed it up, where they were saying, you know, Alan kept mumbling, is my wife okay? Is my family alive? Is my wife alive?
Yeah.
You know, those he did say. So you don't have to take a massive logical leap to get that maybe these guards did say, you better fess it up, man.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.